As we reported earlier, NATO is increasing its troop presence in Eastern Europe. And the United States announced today that it is putting 8,500 troops on high alert to deploy to the region. To discuss the details of today's developments, we are joined by two experts. Andrea Kendall Taylor is a former senior intelligence official who focused on Russia and Eurasia. She's now the head of the Transatlantic Security Program at the Center for a New American Security, which is a bipartisan National Security and Defense Policy Institute. And Philip Carber has served as an advisor to the Secretary of Defense under the Reagan administration. He's now the president of the Potomac Foundation, a nonprofit, nonpartisan policy research group. And we welcome both of you to the NewsHour. Andrea Kendall Taylor, excuse me, to you first. How much of a change in posture is this for the Biden administration to be making this announcement about troop readiness? And what is your sense of how meaningful this troop deployment could be?
So I think this signals a shift in the way the Biden administration is approaching the conflict. So far, you know, they've been talking a lot about deterrence and laying out the costs for Putin if he should take action. To me, this signals that they see that conflict is becoming more likely in the coming weeks. And so they're shifting to a more proactive footing to help prepare for that conflict. I think at this point, the key for the Biden administration and its NATO allies is to ensure that this conflict, should it happen, remains contained to Ukraine. And so they're starting to pre-position forces and take these steps to prepare for scenarios in which conflict could potentially spill over or test NATO member states. So I think this is a real shift in their footing and how they're thinking about the likelihood of conflict with between Russia and Ukraine.
So how would the presence of U.S. troops in the region, in addition to the NATO forces, keep the any conflict contained to Ukraine?
So I think the key is kind of preparing for scenarios in which conflict between Russia and Ukraine could spill over into NATO member states, particularly Poland and Romania. We want to be prepared for those possibilities. I also think a key goal and objective of pre-positioning forces like this is to signal alliance resolve. I think we want to be crystal clear with President Putin that the alliance has the resolve to respond so that he doesn't look to test any other NATO member states. And I'll just say, you know, I also think there's one broader audience, and that is Xi Jinping. And I think he and China is going to be watching very closely to see the United States' ability to marshal a coalition to respond. And so this is signaling the United States' willingness to move beyond sanctions and to change the security environment in which any revisionist actor would face. So I think kind of for all those reasons, to shore up the credibility of the alliance and to prepare for potential scenarios, these steps by the Biden administration and NATO allies are important ones and welcome.
So signals to NATO, to Russia, and as you say, to China as well. Phil Carber, let me bring you into this. How do you see these troops, were they to be deployed, being used? Where would they be? What exactly would they do?
Well, I agree with everything my colleague said, but the response so far has been kind of underwhelming. I mean, what they announced today is that we're preparing to lean forward, get units ready to deploy, but we haven't deployed anything yet. So to answer your question, I think the options, the most effective options would be to move air units, particularly fighters, into Romania, Poland, perhaps F-18 fighters with Harpoon anti-ship missiles into Bulgaria, and get more AWACS aerial surveillance, so that the Ukrainians, who are basically blind in terms of having a long distance identification of where attacks might come from, we could pass that intelligence to them. So those would be the most significant and fastest things we could do. But so far, they haven't left yet. Then, of course, there's the option of having ground forces. But the most I think they're talking about is one brigade unit, and that's not very much. So it's as a limit. Lastly, there is an ongoing naval exercise that we're participating in the Mediterranean, so that's helpful. And the Danes are sending some naval units to the Baltic to try and shore up them.
So, Phil Carber, just stay with you for a moment. So air surveillance, sending in air, potentially air support, sending in naval support. In what, surrounding Ukraine? I mean, how do you see this geographically?
That's the problem. I do not see naval forces going into the Black Sea. I think that would be it's just too dangerous and too outnumbered, frankly. But having AWACS flying in over Ukraine and being able to give them early warning of an impending attack and also help their air respond, their small air force respond to a much larger Russian attack would be enormously helpful. And also having our fighters there to protect the AWACS so they aren't taking potshots at. And that sends a very strong message. Our air power is our strongest message sender in terms of military capability, and yet it's still in a defensive posture deployed into NATO countries. And it also gives them a sense, you know, the people say, oh, we're trying to assure the Allies. Well, when you talk to the Allies, they say, we don't want assurance, we want deterrence. If this war comes to our border, we're not looking for speed bumps. We want real help. So I think that's the key.
Yeah, just two quick questions. One is, how quickly do you see this kind of support being deployed and making a difference? Because it clearly would have to integrate with what else is on the ground there with NATO.
So in terms of the air, we could probably get a number of squadrons, maybe a couple of wings within 3 to 7 days. And that would be very, very quick and very powerful. The ground forces take obviously a lot longer. We have pre-positioned equipment in Germany and Poland, right. But whether the Germans would allow us to fall in on that equipment and then move it across Germany, who knows? Likewise, it takes time to move troops from essentially Western Poland to anywhere near the Belarusian border or Ukrainian border. I'm sorry?
No, I was just going to say, and one other question, in terms of military balance, these numbers are a lot smaller than the 100 or more than 100,000 troops the Russians have around there. So in terms of military balance, you see them making a difference.
The air could seriously make a difference over eastern Ukraine and give the Russians a real second thought about whether they want to launch a major air offensive, which a lot of people are warning about, flying in over Belarus, over the Mediterranean, hitting Ukraine from all sides. If we had strong AWACS, early warning, and also strong fighter capability, I think that would give them severe warning. Well, one other thing that should be noted is we just sent, supplies to Ukraine. Those supplies had been ordered and purchased by Ukraine as part of their military aid. Literally months ago. So we haven't sent any new stuff yet to Ukraine. And we really, everything we send right now is helpful.
And final, quick last question to Andrea Kendall Taylor. Is this what the U.S. and NATO are announcing today? Is this likely to change Putin's thinking?
I don't think so. I mean, I think at this point, if he's going in, and of course, we should note that only Putin knows the answer to that. You know, he keeps us on our toes because that works to his strategic advantage. But I would say kind of given senior Russian official statements and certainly the continuing buildup of Russian forces on the Ukrainian border, it does appear that we are headed towards conflict. And so I don't think that we are going to deter the conflict. So then what we're looking to do, I think, at this point is through sanctions and changes in our U.S. force posture is to make this as costly an action for Putin as possible. You know, he is taking a great risk here, and we need to do everything we can to raise the cost for his actions, to reassure our allies, and again, to make sure that this conflict stays contained to Ukraine. So I think that's the shift that we're seeing from this administration. moving towards just deterrence to recognizing that we're going to have to kind of manage and navigate the situation, thinking about refugee flows and pre-positioning humanitarian aid. So I think the conflict is coming. We're getting closer. And the steps that the administration is talking about doing, I think, signals where their thinking is, that we're getting closer to conflict.
Sobering. Andrea Kendall-Taylor, Phil Carber, thank you both very much.
Thank you for having me.